the switch is on. Amen. Is it on?
There we go. Okay, it's on. Good. SpongeBob's up here now. And...
No, I'm just kidding. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Amen? All right. Take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'll begin reading verse number 1. I'll read down through here a few verses and bring out a few truths that hopefully be a help and a blessing to you. It's been a thrill to be here today. I certainly do appreciate this church and appreciate your dedication and sacrifice. And I thank the Lord for your influence that you've had all over literally the world. God has used your pastor in such a tremendous way. And praise the Lord for him and his friendship. I met him back in 1988, and I knew right then when I met him, he's a man of conviction, a man of God. And I praise the Lord that we've been able to maintain a friendship all through those years, and appreciate him so very much. Friend to the preacher, the evangelist, missionaries, has a heart to see people saved, and I thank God for that. Genuine. Amen. And God called me to preach in 82, and I surrendered to it, and I started preaching then, and went off to Bible college, and I had an opportunity traveling for Oklahoma Baptist College, and I've been traveling now on the road for almost 20 years, and I tell you what, there's a lot of guys out there that aren't as genuine as you would hope for them to be, but praise the Lord for your pastor. Amen. Amen. Transparent man of God. That's what I appreciate about him. Amen. And no frills and not flowery, but just a transparent individual, just loves God, that has the hand of God upon his life. Amen. And so praise the Lord for that. And it's a tremendous blessing just to be a part of this ministry and your pastor. And so this week we'll be at football camp. And that's a tremendous ministry as well. And then the next week I'll be up in Hastings, Minnesota. I'll be preaching in a tent revival up there. And we'll have that set up. And then down the road I go. So pray for us as we continue to pray for you folks here at the Faith Baptist Church. Amen. And thank God for your commitment. And it's a blessing to be with you folks. And it's good to see Brother Ross and Mrs. Ross. And, of course, you know, the Executive Vice President of Oklahoma Baptist College. And one of my instructors back when I was in school there, and really, Brother Ross, you know, if it wouldn't have been for him, I don't think I'd have made it through Bible college. And he was kind of the buffer. Brother Vineyard wanted to kill me, and Brother Ross was kind of the, you know, he was like Moses that stood between God and the backslidden Christian, you know. Brother Vineyard, don't kill him right now. He'll be fine, you know. Ross, he's your responsibility, you know. And so, put his life on the line for me. And so, praise the Lord. It's great to see him and Mrs. Ross. And thank God for his ministry as well. And it's just a blessing to be able to be a Christian. No greater joy than being in the direct center of God's will. No greater joy than serving Jesus. Amen. And boy, being right in the will, the center of God's will. You want to make sure you're always in the direct center of God's will. It's a place of safety. Amen. A place of security. Amen. I mean, listen, Brother Vineyard, he believes he's in the direct center of God's will. That's why he can have the confidence to stand on the Lebanon-Israel border. Amen. And just stand there and you know, be used of God preaching to 35,000 Jewish people. Giving them the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But he's got that security. I mean, no, if it's time for him to go, then praise God. I mean, listen, that's the security and the satisfaction. No greater satisfaction than being in the direct center of God's will. All of those things going on in society today, and we see all of the conflict. in the eruption of civil war in Iraq and all of the different types of things that are going on. What in the world's going to happen? Jesus is coming again. God's people need to be ready. You better be in the direct center of God's will. Amen. Being ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I like to liken the readiness of the Christian in relation to the coming of Christ as a hockey player in the penalty box with time winding down. His seconds are ticking away. He's watching it. I've got a minute left. I've got 50 seconds left. I've got 30, 20, 10 seconds left of him being in the penalty box. He stands up. He's got his stick. He's got his clothes on. Helmet. He's ready. He's watching. And boy, when his time's up, pow! He's out the gate. That's how we ought to be as Christian people. Amen. Ready. I mean, just coming out of the gate in the center of God's will. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That sin that constantly hounds us. Amen. That sin that constantly harasses us. Amen. I mean, that besetting sin that many times hinders you and I from reaching the potential that God wants us to reach in our Christianity. It's that besetting sin. The Bible says there, every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. We're in that race, and we need to determine by faith in God, we're going to run this race, this endurance race, by faith, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to see us across the finish line. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Notice there that last phrase, be weary and faint in your minds. So many people today are falling out of the race. Falling away, fainting. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Are you with me? Say amen. Over in Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 31. Now they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are you with me this evening? Say amen. Oh, listen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we received of mercy, we faint not. Verse 16, the Bible says, for which cause we faint not. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs in chapter 24 and verse number 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Here we find in this passage of Scripture, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. I want to preach a message entitled, The Saint That Will Not Faint. We need Christians that will determine in their heart that they're going to continue to serve God. Amen. Sink, swim, live or die. God's people today are jumping ship, throwing in the towel. You see it happening all over the country. It breaks my heart to see people today running out on their responsibilities, running out on their family, running off the mission field, running away from the will of God. We need Christians determined not to allow themselves to get discouraged, get depressed, get down, get derailed. Amen. From the call of God upon your life, He's given you an opportunity to be used as a vessel of God to bring a harvest of souls to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Be a saint that won't faint. Amen. We find here in this passage of Scripture three thoughts concerning that phrase. Notice, first of all, the saint that won't faint will lay aside sin. Amen. If there's something that's going to
cause you to wash out, to drop out of the ministry or the will of God for your life is allowing yourself to be tangled up with the muck and mire of sin. Amen. We need to lay that thing aside. Lay aside that bad attitude. Lay aside that jealousy. Lay aside that lust. Lay aside that anger. Amen. Lay aside the pride. Lay aside that sin unconfessed. That sin, as you regard that iniquity in your heart, will hinder you from God hearing your prayers. And if there's ever a day and age that we need for God to hear our prayers, it's today. This country is in dire need for somebody to step up to the plate and be the prayer warrior that God wants you to be. That'll turn the tide. Amen. That'll bring America to its knees with the great spirit of repentance to experience a heaven-sent Holy Ghost Spirit-filled revival. We'll see a multitude of people saved before Jesus Christ comes back. He's extended His mercy for us to have revival. Amen. I believe He's delayed His coming. Given us that opportunity. Given us that chance. But oh, so many Christians today. Why do they fall away? Why do they fade away? Why do they faint? Because of that sin that they're carrying around with them. Too many of God's people walking around in bondage. In bondage. Some type of bondage. I'm not talking about financial bondage. We're all in financial bondage, amen. But that sin that hounds you and haunts you, that sin that harasses you, that you struggle with and wrestle with, amen. You can have victory over that sin. You can have victory over that doubt. You can have victory over that confusion. The devil is the author of confusion. And this society is full of confusion. I mean, just confused, and what a tragedy it is. God's people not manifesting that faith, but having that confused attitude. Lay aside sin. Amen. Don't carry that burden around. Don't carry that thing around with you. You know, we all make mistakes from time to time. We all fall flat on our face from time to time. The Bible says the just man riseth up. Amen. What does that mean? That means He's going to lay that aside and not let it disturb you, not let it disrupt you, but continue on for the Lord Jesus Christ and thank God for His mercy and the opportunity that He's given us. He went to Jonah the second time. Amen. Aren't you glad we serve a God of the second chance? Lay aside that sin. Lay aside that arrogancy. Lay aside those hurt feelings. God's people walk around with hurt feelings today. Didn't hear a whole lot of amens on that one. Too many of God's people carry that animosity. And it affects you. It affects you. Spiritually. Mentally. Physically. That bitterness. Amen. You know, I mean, people get upset with me from time to time. I look at it as a challenge to win them back. To get back in their good graces. Amen? That's right. People get upset with me from time to time. I don't know why. I'm a lovable type of guy. But my wife, you know, she'll get upset with me. And then I think, it's a challenge. I'll win her back. Amen. Yeah, so, but we got to lay aside that animosity. You see a lot of that animosity in churches today. You see a lot of animosity in Christians today. Lay those things aside. Confront that sin. Don't make excuses. Confront it. Confess it. Amen. He that confesseth his sin shall have mercy, the Bible says. Oh, listen, we want to have mercy. Confess your sin. If we confess our sin, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you willing to to confess it and get it right with God. Oh, listen, the saint that won't faint will lay aside sin. Secondly, notice the Bible says, looking unto Jesus. The saint that won't faint will lay aside sin. Secondly, look to the Savior. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off of your problems. Problems are inevitable. We're all going to have them. You know, Joseph kept his eyes on Jesus in that prison. And Job kept his eyes on Jesus. Going through all of the trials, you know that Job went through. I don't believe any of us have ever gone through quite that. You know, that amount of trouble and losing 10 children and everything, and it was done and then afflicted physically. His buddies came and ridiculed him, mocked him. But Job kept his eyes on Jesus. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips, for I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Oh, listen to me. Why do people drop out? Why do people faint? Why do people get fatigued? Why are people frustrated? Because they're not looking to the Savior. Our example. Who was tempted in all points like you and I, yet without sin. Who's with me right there? He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows about that trouble. He knows about that trial. He knows about that, I mean, far up there, you know, before you even get there to that remedy. And he's equipping you to overcome that. As you go through that, the problem, it's a purging process to prepare you for victory. So you don't get proud and arrogant about it when you win the race. Amen. Look to the Savior. Get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes off of your problem. Get your eyes off of your past. Every once in a while, that past will come up and bite you. Oh, the devil, he's the master at pulling all of those, you know, those skeletons out of the closet from time to time. But you can't get discouraged. You've got to learn from it. You've got to trust God in that situation. He's got a will. He's got a design plan specifically for you. You just got to look to the Savior. To keep your eyes on Jesus. Are you with me? My 3 children were all born in Oklahoma City. All in the same hospital. Kyle and Seth delivered by the same doctor. Michaela was delivered by a different type of doctor, but she was in one room over. And I remember when Kyle was born in October 2nd, 1990, came into the world, my firstborn son. And I was so excited about my boy, 10 pounds, 7.5 ounces. He was a big boy. The missing link, the Piltdown man. The Nebraska man. The kid was ugly. But anyways, I was excited anyways. They were born at this hospital called Mercy Hospital. It's a Catholic hospital. And on top of that hospital is a big white fluorescent cross. I mean, you could see that thing for miles away. It just up there rotates. 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 I mean, miles. And I remember they got Kyle all cleaned up. And they brought him back. Lois was sleeping. And it was just me and my boy. What would be my first words to speak to my son? What am I going to say? He got one eye cracked open. Kind of looked like Popeye, you know? Yuck, 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 yuck. So I'm walking in the room, you know, the lights are kind of down because Lois was sleeping. I looked out the window. I could see that big cross. I saw that big cross out of the window. I looked at my son. I kind of tilted his head, his face, and I whispered in his ears. My first words, keep your eyes on the cross.
Like that. Amen.
Keep your eyes on the cross.
Amen.
I did that same thing with my boy Seth. When he was born, the first words out of my mouth to my kids, keep your eyes on the cross. I tell them that all the time. My little girl Michaela, when she was born, I did the same thing with her. Keep your eyes on the cross. And if God gives me opportunity, and I'm at home, man, and I'm laying on my dead bed, about ready to draw my last breath, and my family's there, and my children, and my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren, and my great-great-great-great-grandchildren. I mean, that would be cool, wouldn't it? But anyway. And you're laying. You know what my last words are going to be to my whole family? Keep your eyes on Jesus! Amen. Don't ever take your eyes off the Lord. Keep your eyes on the cross. Look to the Savior. He's the example. Suffering. Sacrifice. Surrender. Success. He finished the course. Amen. Carrying a cross. That old cross. I mean, beat, bloody, bruised, battered. Oh, praise God. He didn't faint. He didn't faint. Be a saint that won't faint. The Bible says there in verse number 3, lay aside sin. Look to the Savior. And then the saint that won't faint, number 3, will labor to win souls. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Mark it down, neighbor. The Christian that is constantly on the trail of a lost individual laboring to win souls is not going to throw in the towel. I mean, a saint that won't faint gets that sin out of their life, looks to the Savior, and labors to win souls. Jesus left us an example. We ought to follow in His steps. Who's with me? Say amen. Labor, labor, labor. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The labors are few. The harvest is plenteous. I believe that's true and it applies to today. Despite what people say, you can go down the street and give somebody the gospel. They've never heard the true, unadulterated, pure presentation of the gospel message. The death, burial, resurrection. Oh, they've heard a lot of stuff on television. They've heard, you know, just be yourself, do whatever you want to do, as long as you're, you know, you're laughing all the time and you're giving food to the people that need food. There's people out there that have never heard the pure gospel. You witness, I never knew that. I never knew you could know 100%. I never knew that I was born a sinner. I didn't know that. I wasn't taught that in the public school. Amen. In society today, God's people will have revival when God's people will labor for souls. I thank the Lord that He's allowed us to have souls saved. 15,000 saved in the 15 years that we've been traveling on the road, preaching the gospel. And that's just the grace of God. Amen. Nobody ever thought that Daryl Murphy would one day stand and preach the gospel. Oh, listen, we need to determine to be a saint that won't faint. Lay aside sin. Look to the Savior. Labor for souls. The saint that won't faint. Father, thank you for your love, your goodness. I pray you take the message. Help us, Lord, to incorporate it into our lives. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you say, I needed that message? There's come some times, man, I'm ready to pack it in. I've got to be honest. But God has spoke to my heart. I needed that message. Preach it tonight. Pray for me. Slip your hand up all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Now, when you're in a ministry like this, constant movement. A ministry like this never is stagnant. There's always movement. It's like a fresh spring coming into a crystal clear lake where you catch those big old walleyes and pike and bass. Ooh.
it's nice and clear. Why? No stagnant water. That's this ministry right here. Constant motion. But oh, listen, sometimes we got to be careful. We might get weary. We might faint. Be a saint that won't faint. Father, you've seen the hands. Bless the invitation. Let's have everyone stand together. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. God spoke to your heart on the first note as they began to play. You come right now. Would you do it? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You need to come. You lifted your hand. You mean business. Why don't you come right now? Be the saint that won't faint. The saint that won't faint. Christian people tonight need to have that type of dedication. I'm going to go on. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to lay aside sin. Hey, what is that sin? Come, leave it on the altar. Lay it aside. Get rid. Look to the Savior. You've had your eyes on somebody, something. Labor for souls. When's the last time you won a soul to Christ? I read a sermon by Curtis Hudson not long ago. He heard Lee Robertson say that 95% of the people in his congregation had never won a soul to Christ. He didn't think he heard that right, so after the service he asked him, Brother Robertson, is that true? He said, it's true. 95, that great ministry. Oh, just think, we had set out to labor for souls. The impact that we would have in Christianity. Why don't you come, Pastor?